You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Well, it's here. Draft day, draft night. Welcome to the program. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Daniel Jeremiah. He'll be the lead analyst for the NFL Network tonight. He'll join us from Cleveland momentarily. And Trey Lance, the former North Dakota State star quarterback, will join us a little bit later on as well. Phone calls are always welcome. Emails, tweets, say good morning to Peacock. That's our TV partner. You can download the app and stream all 3 hours for free if you'd like to. Say good morning to our radio affiliates around the country, including the formidable Fox Sports Radio lineup. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question, all forthcoming on this program. Let me give you the updated information that I have from a source, because I just sent out a text and I said, do you still think it's Mac Jones at number three? This is what I received. I think Kyle and Mike Shanahan prefer Jones. Could they take the more dynamic Fields? Mike drafted RG3. It worked for a while but wasn't sustainable. I think the epilepsy with Fields is a factor. If it's Lance, he'll be a redshirt. So that leads us to where? Jimmy Garoppolo and his future there. Because if you take Trey Lance, do you keep Jimmy Garoppolo for the bridge year? If you take Mac Jones, you're probably going to try to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. What can you get for Jimmy Garoppolo? Also talked to a source about the Patriots. And I said, could you see the Patriots moving up to number four with Atlanta? It would be a surprise to see New England move up tonight. The price tag is too high. And the thought is, New England is going to linger. And by that I mean, they want to see who is falling. And then do you jump up? They don't want to go to four. But if Trey Lance is there, if Justin Fields is there and falls in their lap, then they have a decision to make. But from what I'm told, highly unlikely that New England would want to trade up to four, but keep an eye on what's going on. Miami's at six. I'm not sure why Miami traded up after trading back, but I think that they're there where a team could say, hey, Justin Fields is there, Trey Lance is there, we're going to go up and get him. And I do think there's probably four or five teams. I don't rule out the Steelers. I don't rule out the Bears. I don't rule out the Washington football team. But right now, when you look at these quarterbacks and the talent that's there, you can't rule out any of these teams going, well, wait a minute. We can go up and get him. What's it going to cost us? Because you would have ruled out the Kansas City Chiefs a couple of years ago, a team that went 12-4 with a Pro Bowl quarterback, Alex Smith, having, according to Alex Smith, maybe the best season of his career. And they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. That's why you can't say, well, we're set at quarterback. You might be set, maybe set for 1 year, but that doesn't mean somebody's not going to go up and get somebody. And you could say, hey, given everything that happened with the Patriots, they went 7-9, had a lot of opt-outs due to COVID, and they almost made the playoffs with Cam, a subpar Cam, who was more of a runner than a passer. Okay, you had Buffalo, and Buffalo is formidable. Josh Allen had an MVP-like season. Miami is not going away. New England knows we got to do something here. The question is, what do we do, and how dangerous do we get in the draft? This isn't normal for Belichick to go up, usually trading back. But if they see Justin Fields is there, if Trey Lance is there, then I think they have a real decision on their hands. McLovin, you got a poll question for me? By the way, this program brought to you by Simply Safe isn't just award-winning security systems. And they offer a team of highly trained security experts. When you need them the most, go to simplysafedan.com to customize your system. Get a free security camera. All right,
McLovin. Okay, we're doing tomorrow's draft headlines, and Paulie has the options.
Ooh. All right, what are we going to be talking about right out of the gate tomorrow? What the 49ers did, whatever that may be, what the Falcons did, where Justin Fields goes, what the Patriots did, or a current quarterback getting traded, a la Teddy Bridgewater, but bigger?
Well, I think the only big-name quarterback who could get traded is Jimmy Garoppolo, and according to Adam Schefter, I'll give you the exact wording, multiple teams are expected to contact the Niners today to inquire about the availability of Jimmy Garoppolo per sources, but as of early this morning, the chances of him being traded are, in the words of one source, remote. Let's see if anything changes over the next 72 hours. Well, I think what's going to happen is after the draft, teams are going to come up for air and go, okay, we didn't get our quarterback. We took this player instead because he fell in our laps. Let's inquire about Jimmy Garoppolo. Can I see Jimmy Garoppolo restructuring his deal to make him a little bit more affordable and tradable? Yes, I do. Because if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo and I know that my team, at least my current team, traded all of those draft picks to go up to get to number three, then I know that my future is not there. And I don't want to be a bridge quarterback for, you know, Trey Lance or Justin Fields or even Mac Jones. I'd rather go, hey, where can I go? Now, he'd be going to New England, perhaps, and you got Cam Newton there. But I don't rule out some of these other teams with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think we feel like, oh, they're going to reunited, and it feels so good in New England with Bill Belichick. I can't rule out the Chicago Bears, Washington football team. Like, it, as much as you go, yeah, well, you go back to the Patriots, of course. Okay, well, that's not going to stop somebody else from offering something better for Jimmy Garoppolo if they feel like he's worth it. You know, here's a guy who played his college ball in Illinois. Could the Bears go after Jimmy Garoppolo? I never say never. Not in this world. But as Adam Schefter has pointed out, his source says it's remote that Garoppolo would be traded anytime soon. I'm guessing after the draft. Because then you know, hey, we didn't get our guy. Or we did get our guy. We're not interested in Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, Paul.
Doesn't that sound like a leaked story by the Niners to get more draft trade action for Garoppolo? Like maybe they've got the Patriots on the hook and maybe another team, but you leak that, hey, the Patriots are in play. The other team's like, well, we better move now if we're interested in a guy like that.
Well, whenever Adam Schefter tweets something about or somehow related to Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan's father and the great coach, I take note because Adam has a great relationship with Mike Shanahan from Denver. And I always get the feeling maybe Kyle Shanahan's not talking, but Mike Shanahan might be talking. So that's how I approach a tweet from Adam Schefter that it has anything to do with the family tree of the Shanahans. We were surprised that Trey Lance was going to be available today on draft day, but we're glad to have him. He'll join us in the final hour of the show. And normally, we're grading the offseason by who teams add to their rosters, which makes sense. But when you look at 2021 in the NFL, maybe the biggest offseason coup had nothing to do with new free agents or the draft. Somehow the Buccaneers did it. They reloaded. They're bringing back all the key pieces from their Super Bowl team. News came out yesterday, Antonio Brown is going to be back, one-year deal. But it's pretty incredible they kept everybody. Shaq Barrett, he was going to be coveted by several teams. They didn't let him get to free agency. They re-signed linebacker Lavonte David. They franchise-tagged receiver Chris Godwin. You know, they got a chance to do what Brady did back in 03 and 04, go back-to-back. Great chance to do that this year with all of the weapons back as well. All right, so do we have a poll question? Or
yeah, what
be
are we
just
talking about tomorrow?
Okay.
By the way, I don't like anything you're saying. Jimmy Garoppolo or the Bears? What about QB1 with red hair?
Oh, I know that. The red rifle. I'm just saying, I think Chicago's in play for these quarterbacks this year, draft picks. I think Washington is in play because they should be. Like, what is Washington's end game here? Ryan Fitzpatrick, as much as I like him, if you felt that strongly about Taylor Heineke, you wouldn't have brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's why I always think, like the Steelers, hey, they're going to draft a running back. Okay. What if they all of a sudden go, we can go get that quarterback? Yeah. Paul?
Even a team like Detroit, which you think is not in play for a quarterback, if they're sitting there and a guy just falls to them, they may say, we may not be in this position to get this guy. Justin Fields was, we don't have the 2 pick. Or they may say, like, look, everyone's calling us. We'll build around Jared Goff. It's interesting to see the directions.
I was told that Detroit more likely to trade down out of their pick. Carolina is still, like, I'm curious about that because of that owner and that head coach. And you haven't signed up Sam Darnold to that 5th-year option. So you might get Sam for 1 year. And if Trey Lance is there, I think that would be really tough to pass up if you're Carolina. Yeah, McLovin.
When you mentioned your source about San Francisco, you actually said Justin Fields second after. So third. I thought, is he in play there? It's like, I know no one knows. I know you don't know for sure, but.
This is the same source who beat everybody to the punch on the fact that Mac Jones, but there were people in the personnel office, in the war room, who liked Trey Lance, okay? So it's the same source. That hadn't changed. Now people are coming around saying, hey, I'm hearing that people in the Niners front office, yes, this has been out there, told you a month ago about this. He's the one who said that would they take a dynamic player like Fields? I think it's more likely they would take Trey Lance. But my source said, I think the epilepsy with Fields is a factor. And if they take Trey Lance, he'll be a redshirt. The question is, you know, can you keep Jimmy Garoppolo on board here and he's going to be your Band-Aid for Trey Lance to then take that job, if that happens? But my source did say, I still feel like it's Mac Jones. That's who Mike and Kyle, and they're making the pick. This isn't John Lynch, the GM. This isn't anybody else. It's Kyle Shanahan's choice here. And, of course, with impact, influence from his father. Yeah, McLovin.
Can I give you a fan's take here? How can even the Jets look at Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, big, dynamic Justin Fields, and say Zach Wilson's our guy? I feel like Justin Fields looks like the obvious choice to be a top quarterback in this draft, and now he might fall. And I'm saying that because I don't want to lose the bet to see.
I think that Zach Wilson, and I'm paraphrasing here what I've been told, Zach Wilson, throwing motion, like he's a better passer. Mechanics, I think, are really important here. And my source told me that you have Trey Lance working out with Tom House and his people, John Beck, working on his mechanics, and that the Niners are monitoring what's going on with Trey Lance. I think Justin Fields, I don't know if everybody's sold on his mechanics. I do think that he throws as good a deep ball as anybody, and he proved that in college. But I do think that Zach Wilson appears more polished with his ability to be able to throw quicker. Same thing with Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones is all about accuracy. And if you're thinking about it, isn't that paramount with your quarterback? Like, I want my quarterback to be accurate. Let's just start there. I want him to be accurate. And if you feel like he comprehends the information, if he picks up things quickly, those are two really important ingredients here with the success of a quarterback. Can you process in real time? And can you throw players open? In college, they're open. In the pros, you throw them open. And that's really important with Kyle Shanahan and his offense here. And that's why I think Trey Lance is not that kind of quarterback right now. Justin Fields, probably not that kind of quarterback. And I think that's why they're leaning towards Mac Jones. But I think it's so tantalizing to look at talent, because everybody looks at talent at the quarterbacking position. Like, Josh Allen is as talented as any quarterback that we've seen in a long time. He runs, he's big, he's strong, he can throw it as far as anybody in the league. Are you accurate? How accurate are you? Because that's where it starts. And if you say, I got a guy who's smart, I don't need somebody who's going to be Michael Vick elusive. I want somebody who's more Russell Wilson than Kyler Murray. You know, be smart when you're keeping a play alive. By the way, speaking of Russell Wilson, what I told you a long time ago when we had Russell Wilson on, and I hate sounding this way. I apologize. And I'm sounding this way of, hey, I told you so. And my job is to make you smarter, make us smarter, give you information nobody else is giving you. And when I told you about what was going on with Russell Wilson after we had him on, I told you that a source said, you know, this is going to lead to a divorce if they don't take care of this between Russ and front office. And then I told you what the Bears offered to Seattle from a source. And then I told you that Seattle is not returning phone calls. They were getting phone calls. I was told the Jets inquired and the Dolphins inquired, made trade offers for Russell Wilson. Seattle did not call them back. Here's Pete Carroll on Russell Wilson.
Russ has been our quarterback for a good while, and we've got a long contract with him. And when all of the conversation went about trades and all that, I knew what the truth was. We weren't trading Russell. And so, that's So we plan on him being here for a good while. I don't know how many years it is now, but we're in great shape, and a long future ahead of us is shared. Russ knows that, and I know that, and we're very clear about it. It's why it was really obvious that we just had to sit back and let the media take its course with the topic, and so we did. And so we're in good shape, and both very clear about that.
And I want to be fair to Seattle, because it feels like, hey, I'm friends with Russell Wilson. He's a friend of the show. I don't have any information, didn't get any information from him or his side. It was just an interview. And then all of a sudden I heard from people after the interview because it was so shocking what he was saying. And Seattle was never engaging in trade talks. And I said that from the beginning from my source. And, you know, so what Pete Carroll is saying is what I was told from the beginning, that teams were calling, but they were not returning those phone calls. And two of the teams, because Russ did not want to go to Miami, did not want to go to the Jets. And those were two teams who inquired about Russell Wilson. And that's, what, 6 weeks ago? I don't even know how long ago that was. Feels like yesterday, and it feels like last year. Yeah, Paulie.
If we could go back 2 months and we did a poll, who would you bet is on a new team next year, Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson? Some people would have said both 2 months ago.
Well, we knew that Deshaun Watson was going to have to be traded at some point because he was not going to play. So before all of these allegations came out, he demanded a trade, said, I'll sit out the entire season. That's another story to keep an eye on today through the next couple of days. Will somebody still trade for Deshaun Watson? Because you can still trade for him. This is what the Texans are trying to get. They want two teams interested in Deshaun Watson. Right now, reportedly from John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, you have the Miami Dolphins, who at least may be still engaged or at least pondering the possibility of taking Deshaun Watson. And that was Deshaun Watson's preferred destination, was Miami. Would Miami make that trade? They're not sure what's going to happen. They don't know what happens with, you know, these civil lawsuits. They don't know what the NFL does with an investigation. Police have investigated or still investigating the last, you know, 3 weeks here. You can trade somebody if they get put on the commissioner's exempt list. Just in case that happens, you can trade for him. We checked with the NFL this morning. That's a story that's been very, very quiet. But if you're a team and you're going to make that trade, you take the hit because you're trading for Deshaun Watson. You don't know what's going to happen here with these civil lawsuits. And they're civil lawsuits right now. You know, if it's a criminal lawsuit, if it's criminal charges here, then it's different, obviously. But what does Miami give up? And they certainly don't have to give up what they probably were told they had to before. Yeah, Paulie?
That's what I was going to ask. Is his trade, is the draft capital you have to give up lower or drastically lower? If you find, I can find a bunch of articles from January and February where people say, a lot of people, Peter King, many others said, it starts with three first-round draft choices, and plus they want talent. Has that dropped to two? Is it still three? Is it?
I think the whole, you know, the interesting part of all of this is that Miami was interested in Deshaun Watson and Miami was interested in Russell Wilson and Miami has Tua Tagovailoa. I find that fascinating. And a lot of draft picks here. Like that team is so close to, boy, you got that guy at quarterback. You have the sixth pick in the draft. Not that you're going to take Justin Fields or Trey Lance, but somebody may covet that and go up and get one of those quarterbacks. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll settle on our poll question. I think what the Niners did is going to be the story, the headline tomorrow. I truly do. Because if they take Mac Jones, people are going to be talking about that, criticizing that. If they don't take Mac Jones and they take Justin Fields or they take Trey Lance, what happens to Jimmy Garoppolo? There's so many tentacles attached to that number three pick. Because you take Mac, what's that do? If you don't take Mac Jones, where does he fall to? What's that do to the rest of the draft? Every single draft, every single one, there's always a squirrely move made by a GM. Always. And you go, what? And we'll have that tonight. The question is, will we have that at number three? We'll take a break. One of our favorite guests, Daniel Jeremiah, former NFL scout. Now he's an analyst for the NFL Network, their lead draft analyst. He'll join us coming up next. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Pumped up, ready to go, 21 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. But of course I'm pumped up because I'm pumped up every day. What is it? Pumped Up Kicks? Is that the name of the song?
Yeah.
That's me.
It's a good song.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that Foster the People? Because I take M-Drive every morning. My Pumped Up Kicks. Everyday supplement for guys with drive. Don't let age beat you. M-Drive is packed with powerful ingredients backed by science. You're energized, feel stronger, you're leaner, and you're ready to tackle the day. So how do you feel? You ready to try M-Drive? You can go to mdrivedan.com. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. I'd love to hear from you. If you do try it, tell me what you think. Go to Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop. You can get M-Drive there as well. Energy, strength, drive. It can work for you. It works for me. Go to mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. mdrivedan.com. Or at Walgreens, Rite Aid, or Vitamin Shop. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. And we did establish that Ed Helms did not date McLovin's current wife while they were in college.
His bandmate likely did.
Not sure, but there's a possibility.
There was an awkward silence when the question was asked.
Did you revisit that yesterday after the show?
I can't really bring it. Okay. It's very uncomfortable for me.
All right.
But she might be listening now, so it might come up.
All right. Fair enough. By the way, Paulie and Fritzy are sporting new t-shirts there. Fritzy says, thank you, Todd. That's available on the website, and so is Paulie's, the UCLA Bruin one. Very, very nice. Go to danpatrick.com. One of our favorite guests, because he always tells us things, he makes us smarter, he's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks, also host of the Move the Sticks podcast. He'll be on the main set with the big boys tonight in Cleveland for the first round tonight, starting at 8 Eastern. Let's start with the poll question here. Give me the headline tomorrow that we'll be talking about. What the Niners did, what the Falcons did, where Justin Fields goes, what the Patriots did, or a big trade. Where are you going to go?
Ooh. I'll say, Dan, I'm going to say it's obviously going to be quarterback related. I'll say it ends up being a trade, not for one of those first guys. I think we could get a little bit of a surprise with three because I still don't. You know, I'm still not convinced it's Mac Jones. Everything in I hear says Mac Jones. Everything in my gut says Trey Lance. So I don't think that's decided yet. But I think what could end up being the big storyline is whichever one of those fifth quarterbacks starts to drop a little bit, who's going to be the team that goes to get him?
What team do you think would be most in play to go after if it's Trey Lance who falls or Justin Fields?
To me, I know everybody's looking at New England. I think that's a possibility. I still think Washington not having their long-term guy. They've got Fitzy right now, but trying to find that next guy to be the long-term guy, that to me is just a logical one that you could see them be aggressive. Chicago, there's the need, but man, they got to win right now. They're in survival mode. So I don't know necessarily that points to them, you know, making that type of a jump. And to be honest with you, if I'm the president of the Bears, the owner of the Bears, I'm not so sure I want a regime that's on a little shaky ground parting with a bunch of future picks for the next guys I might have to bring in. So that, to me, I don't think it points to the Bears.
I don't see New England moving up. A source said to me this morning, they're not moving up to four. But
no.
If something starts to creep down a little bit, then, you know, Belichick might pounce on that a little bit. Do you rule out the Steelers being involved in any of this, you know, given, you know, Ben's sort of fragility here?
I wouldn't, and I wouldn't rule out the Saints either. I know they've got a couple in-house options there with that they're looking at, but if, like, to me, if Trey Lance were to drift a little bit, I could see Sean Payton saying, let's do it, man. Let's get bold and aggressive and go up there and go get him. So Yeah, there's kind of like those different layers of teams. There's the teams, you know, 15 to 20, and then you get to the teams kind of towards the back end. It's a long way to travel. It's going to be very expensive for those teams. But the good news is you're picking at the bottom of the first round. You're Mike Tomlin. You're Sean Payton. You're not going anywhere. You've got time to let this thing grow and develop here. So that could lead to a bold move.
What will happen? What should happen at three? Let's start there.
I think they should take Trey Lance. I've been saying that for a long time. I think it allows them to play 11 on 11 with incorporating him in the run game. I think Kyle, with his creativity, I would think that would tap into that. I think that, and look, Mac Jones is a good player. I always, you know, feel like you're trying to take down Mac Jones. He's a good player, but I like Trey Lance's chances of narrowing that accuracy gap with Mac Jones a lot more than Mac Jones's chances of narrowing the athleticism gap with Trey Lance. So I think Trey's going to get there. He's got some mechanical things he needs to clean up. I know he hasn't made a lot of starts, Dan. I know the lower level. I know all the knocks. I've spent time with this kid. I've been around him. I've talked to all the teams that have interviewed him. He's brilliant. He's not like, oh, he's football smart. He's smart, smart. And so to me, when you have all those traits and you're highly intelligent, that reminds me of Josh Allen. That reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. They didn't have it figured out when they walked into the NFL, but they had all the ability and they were incredibly intelligent.
Okay, but you used to be an NFL scout for a couple of teams.
Yeah.
Let's say you're with the Niners and you're talking to Kyle Shanahan. Now he's making the choice. How do you convince the boss that he's wrong?
I think you do it in a creative fashion. You want to role play it here for a second, Dan?
Okay. All right. Hey, Kyle. What's up? What's up, Dan? What do you got? What do you last call here?
You know, I was just thinking about, you know, the best advantage we have in our organization, Kyle. It's your brain. God, I mean, you're so smart and so creative. If only there was a quarterback out there that would allow you to explore some new areas in your offense to give us a schematic advantage and match that with the physical skill set. Man, I'm trying to rack my brain to see if I could find somebody that might just be big and strong and, you know, could really grow and develop. And you could take this offense, which is already really good, to a whole new place. That would be, wow, Kyle, if you could think of anybody like that, I'm at a loss. I couldn't come up with anybody.
Yeah, but look, I'm looking at Mac because Mac is accurate. You know, he throws people open. He's going to follow my game plan. You know, I don't have to worry about him sort of stretching things. He has more athleticism than people give him credit for. What are the two things I want in a quarterback, Daniel? You know, I want accuracy, and you know, I want somebody who's really sharp, who's going to in real time process the information.
No, Kyle, I hear you on that, and that's the way it's been. And I just would let's flash back a little bit to two times you were standing on the sidelines in the Super Bowl. There was one play you had the lead, and your quarterback had a free rusher come at him, and he couldn't get away from him. He took a sack. You end up out of field goal range. You end up losing a Super Bowl. And then there was this other Super Bowl where this other quarterback scrambled around for about 10 seconds and made some unbelievable throw. And man, that's you've got five fingers. Two of them would have rings on them right now. If you had a guy that could move around and do those types of things. So let's go try and find that guy.
Daniel, it's a little too soon to bring up the two Super Bowls that I lost here. Thanks for your input, and good luck with your new team or when you go to the NFL Network.
You started off well.
Yes, it did. Kyle Pitts feels like he's being set up for failure here. Like, I know he's got all this talent, but I don't know if he's the next Vernon Davis or not, but like we look at him and we go, oh my God, like he can't miss, but guys miss, Daniel.
Yeah, I hear you, Dan, but there's some guys where you just kind of get that feeling. And when Quentin Nelson was coming out, it was like, I said it at the time, he's the best blocker, like the best run blocker that I've ever evaluated. I'd never seen anybody do what he did in the run game, just dominated people. I know it wasn't a sexy position, but it was like, okay, if we're going to say likely Hall of Famers, he would be the one you would pin it to, because you just don't see it. I mean, you watch hundreds of players every year, Dan, and then every now and then there's one guy that just looks different.
Well,
and
my source said, you know, Daniel, going into the draft, he goes, nobody's going to care about this. Quentin Nelson is the best player in this draft.
Yeah.
And he goes, true. But nobody cares about an offensive lineman, but you'll be talking about him as a Hall of Famer. And I remember mentioning it on the air, like, nobody cares about Quentin Nelson except for the quarterback who has Quentin Nelson blocking for him.
Yeah, I almost want to even say from a TV standpoint, the pick is in. It's Quentin Nelson. Go to break.
Yeah, that's a buzzkill. Okay, what should the Falcons do at 4?
We'll see what happens with the quarterbacks. I would take a quarterback. To me, I think if you feel like you can chase a championship for the what's left of Matt Ryan's career, then take the tight end.
But what if Trey Lance is not there, Daniel? What if the Niners take Trey Lance?
I would prefer Trey over Fields. I would still take Justin Fields if I were the Falcons.
Tell this audience, being a scout, like, what are we missing on Justin Fields? Because if we look at everything, factor in everything,
yeah,
there's something missing here.
Yeah, he's incredibly talented, Dan. And I have 4 quarterbacks in my top 8 players in the draft. So to me, I think sometimes I keep getting this question, what's wrong with Justin Fields? And I'm like, it's actually more kind of what's right with some of these other guys too. It's not what's wrong with Justin Fields. Justin Fields is very gifted. The difference to me, like, Trey Lance and Justin Fields is they're touching each other on my sequence list. They're right next to each other. I gave Trey Lance the nod because I thought he was a better decision maker. I thought he played with more urgency, and that's urgency in everything, in terms of just boom, 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 getting through your reads, in terms of making a decision, getting rid of the football, not taking sacks. Just that was the little difference there between those two guys. I think Justin Fields got a chance to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. So if I'm the Atlanta Falcons and I've got a quarterback going into his age 36 season, I don't think we're close to a championship. To me, it feels more like a teardown than a final missing piece to go get a Super Bowl.
But like you're in love with Trey Lance. If you work for the Jets, would you take Trey Lance?
That would be a really tough call. I ended up with Zach over Trey. I thought he was just more consistent as a thrower. And you get some wow with Zach Wilson as well. You get a little bit of sizzle with some of the stuff that he can do. But from the outside, not having a chance to visit with Zach, like, I've met with Trey. I wish I would have had a chance to spend a lot of time around Zach. When you're with a team, I think that can be kind of the deciding factor in this. It's kind of how they come through that process. So I ended up with Zach. But, man, it would if you're running a team, that would be the choice for me, those two guys.
Wow, that's interesting. I like that Jerry Jones said, hey, I'm not infatuated with Kyle Pitts. While being infatuated with Kyle Pitts, could Dallas do something, not crazy, but, well, maybe it is because that team needs help on defense. But could you see Jerry Jones doing something a little goofy tonight?
I'm anxious to see if he gets spooked a little bit by the fact that the Eagles and the Giants are right behind them. And you've got the Eagles at 12 who do need a corner. The Cowboys, the need that jumps at you is the corner. You need an edge rusher, but I don't think there's one really to take there. So you're both chasing the same player. I would love to be, if Denver's not taking a quarterback, I had them taking Justin Fields. I had them just moving up to 7 and taking Fields. But if they are happy at quarterback and they want to roll with what they've got, oh my gosh, how fun would that be to play the Eagles and the Cowboys against each other, knowing they more than likely want the same player, to see if you can get a little extra for one of those teams to come up.
So you're talking about going after a defensive back?
I think it would be Surtain, would be my guess. My guess is that's probably the target for the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Would you trade for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Depending on where you are in the Patriots, to me, and I don't know what they're going to do. I guess there's some reports out there saying they might do it.
Nobody knows what the Patriots are going to do.
That's a great point. That one, not knowing the inner dynamics of how his relationship was with Josh McDaniels and the crew there, the way Jimmy Garoppolo plays, provided he could, stay healthy, which he hasn't been able to do, it matches the way the Patriots are built. I mean, they're offensive line driven, they're run game driven. Their defense, special teams, protect the football, like, kind of how Jimmy plays. So it makes sense from the outside. But again, I don't know how he's viewed in the building.
Yeah, I just wonder what he's worth. I know they said they want a first-round pick.
No, no chance.
You're not getting a first-round pick.
No chance. Yeah. I think you're looking – I'd be happy if you got a third-round pick.
Yeah.
He's the availability. How do you give up a high pick if he can't stay healthy?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some fascinating, you know, plot twists that could happen, because all it takes is, you know, like, you go back to Mitchell Trubisky, and you're like, yeah, nobody saw that.
No.
I think you had him going to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's no way. There's no way in the whole. That's why I love tonight, man. It's fun. And I'm part of me was frustrated because, like, God, I want to know what San Francisco is going to do. And then I'm like, you know what? It's more fun sitting up there on the desk when they're on the clock and you don't know what they're going to do.
Yes.
So I hope it remains a mystery when we get up to the start of the night.
Well, I want you to react the way we react, because then it, you know, I've been involved in an NBA draft before, and they said, do you want to know the pick when it's in? And I said, no.
No.
You know, all I want to know is right before the commissioner comes out, just tell me who it is so I get my information. That was it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to react in real time. And there are times when I'm watching the draft where I get the feeling that the host might know what the pick is before the pick is, because then you'll go, I'm thinking maybe a wide receiver or running back, and the pick is in, and they take a wide receiver, you know, and then you're going, okay.
The best, and we have a great group, and so I just remember watching this as a kid, so this is not with NFL Network, this is elsewhere, but it was, they're on the clock for 10 minutes. They need a receiver, it's a receiver, here's this receiver versus that receiver, and then, oh, the pick is in. Would not be surprised if this is an offensive line. Let's go to the podium and see what they do.
That's where somebody's in your ear going, it's offensive lineman. Lineman. Have fun tonight, and I'll probably text you during the show.
All right, Dan, see my shirt here real quick?
El Nino.
I mean,
okay.
Is Fernando Tatis fun to watch, or
okay,
what?
So you're on the bandwagon here.
Oh, Dan, I go back to watching Kilvio Varis, buddy. There's no bandwagon. I've been riding this thing for a long time.
Well, I go back to Mike Ivey.
Oh, nice. How about Dave Dravecki?
Poor Dave Dravecki.
I know.
Broke his arm. Yeah. Who else? Freddie Norman. Like, I go back to the early 70s of the Padres when they had those ugly uniforms. It looked like a bad diaper that you changed.
Call me, Dan, when you go to an opening day. When there's Lynn, Wynn, and Gwynn in the outfield for the Padres.
Thank you, bud.
See you, buddy.
That's Daniel Jeremiah. He'll be on the set tonight with Rich Eisen, Kurt Warner, Michael Irvin probably, Charles Davis. They got Melissa Stark will be doing the interviews. They got a cast of thousands. Fred Kendall, another San Diego Padre. I remember when we would get straight A tickets. I didn't have the straight A's, but somebody else did. And we'd always get tickets, and we got tickets to see the Padres play the Reds. For some reason, plenty of seats still available for your San Diego Padres. Yes, Tom?
You're a big Dave Winfield Padres Day guy.
Not as much. I was a Nate Colbert.
Nate Colbert.
Nate Colbert.
Goose had a little stint with the Padres, too. Goose Gossage.
We'll take a break. Thank you, Tom.
Welcome.
Our play of the day is up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God.
The play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Every possession is vital. He hands it to Oney. Oney back to Brantley. Open three. He hits. Jazz by 51 with 1:35 to play. It could be the largest victory in franchise history.
Jazz scored 154. That's a new franchise record. This is just the 10th time in NBA history a team won on the road by as many as 49 points. Congratulations, Sacramento Kings. That's courtesy of the Jazz Radio Network. That is your play of the day. If you listen to the broadcast of this, you're thinking, oh my God, this game is really tight. every possession counts. And then you go, oh, they won by 50. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive, the supplement I take, powerful ingredients backed by science. I get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Yes, polyester.
The Jazz may have the best uniform rotation in the league. They don't really whiff too often.
Yeah.
Even when they go with the old purple-blue skyline from the 80s, yep. Karl Malone,
yep.
There's some good memories from back then.
Yeah.
But the Red Rock Desert look, saucy.
Steve in Florida joins us. Start out the show. Steve, what's on your mind today?
Dan, it's always an honor and privilege to talk to you.
Thanks, Steve.
I just want to say, I think Wild Bill up in New England is going to pull a Matt Ryan trade. He's going to trade his 15th pick to Falcons. He's going to take Matt Ryan. And with that, they could draft Kyle Pitts. We'll give you Cam Newton, too. We'll take care of the salary. And then they could get Kyle Pitts and Najee Harris, first-round draft picks for Atlanta, and just go with Newton for 1 year. And then you've got either Lance or the rest of the boys to deal with. You
know? All right. Well, Steve, I hope it happens. I don't think it will, but thanks for the phone call. That's a lot. That's where you always think of your team and how they're going to benefit. You never think of the other teams because you'll go like, and this would happen with New York sports radio. You'd make this phone call, you'd hear these trade proposals, and it was always something crazy. I'm thinking maybe we give up Luis Soho for A-Rod. What do you think? Seems a little one-sided. Okay, maybe they'll throw in somebody else with A-Rod, but you mean we put in Ramiro Mendoza and Luis Soho for A-Rod. I'll hang up and listen. We never think of the other team. It's like, my team did really well here. Yes, McLovin.
I grew up on that kind of sports talk radio in Philadelphia. That's all there is.
Yeah, Paulie.
But every once in a while, there's a trade in the league that's like that. Remember when Bill O'Brien, he traded DeAndre Hopkins for a running back?
Yeah.
For a injured running back? And you're like, you look at the trade, like, how did someone on that phone call think that that was a good trade for both sides?
That was David Johnson.
David Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
That seemed horrendous.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah. Paul in Iowa. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. I got the stat of the draft for you, but real quick first, I want to throw a shout to DMAC, Des Moines Area Community College men's basketball team, national champions this week. D1 offers everywhere. It's a factory, Dan. It's a pipeline. But if I could get some heavy metal stat of the day, please, Seton
okay.
O'Connor.
Seton, what do you got?
There are only three active NFL quarterbacks that are Super Bowl champions that are also first-round picks. None of them were picked first as a quarterback in their draft class. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Blaine Gabbert.
Ooh, sneaky good. Thank you, Paul. The DMAC Bears, congratulations. The pride of Des Moines. Congratulations there. How did we come up with the Des Moines? Do we have time to tell that story?
Quickly, you and I were on a flight to Chicago. And the
flight attendant.
She goes, we'll be stopping in Chicago, and then you'll stay on a flight for your continued trip to Des Moines. Des Moines.
And I wanted to tell her that it's Des Moines. But everybody's giggling, and she was so serious. If you're staying on the flight, we will leave Chicago, and we will go to Des Moines.